All right. Good morning, everyone. We will continue with worship. Thank you for, I love this time of greeting and saying good morning to each other, and just always really, really enjoy that. And so for the next couple weeks, we're kind of in a kind of an in-between here. So I'm going to be preaching both this week and next week, and I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, you can, and I'll do it in the two different sections. This week we'll do 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians is a really specific book. It's written by Paul to people that he's been doing a lot of things with and had a lot of relational, I don't know if issues is the right word, but they've gone through a lot together. And some things really, really hard and challenging, and other things really good. And so there's a lot here, and we're going to try to dig out and see it as clearly as we can. But sounds like you guys are mostly there. So I'm going to read 1 through 6, and then we'll dig in here. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled not to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we want to hear your word this morning. We want it to penetrate our hearts and our minds, that the knowledge of the glory of Christ may dwell in us, that we may see the bright light that comes only from you, that you bring into our hearts, and that may open our eyes, Father, that we may be people of your ministry, that the ministry of God that starts in our own hearts may come forth from us into this community. Father, may we see the marks, the truths, the ways that light looks like in ministry. Father, help us to see that this morning. Help me to speak well, and may our hearts and our minds be ready. We pray things in your name. Amen. So it's that time of year. Wednesday is the first, which in some ways is just a very arbitrary day. It's just another day in one sense, but in another sense, it's very different for us because it's the new year. And it is that time of year where we're thinking about, we're maybe doing two things, at least we're maybe looking back on the last year and how it went and things that happened. But then we're also looking at the next year and thinking about things that we're hoping to happen, or maybe things we're hoping won't happen, or maybe even goals that we're setting and having. It's that time of year that we do that, right? We set resolutions, right? We decide that we want to lose weight or gain muscle or eat better or spend time doing other things, or use our money more wisely, or stop doing things we shouldn't be doing, or start doing things that we should be doing, and all those kind of things. And so we're looking forward on the year and thinking, how are we going to do that and how are we going to lay that out? And of course, sitting in the back of our minds in that is the feeling of failure, that we're not going to accomplish those things. But it is really, and it's hard, a really good thing to do, to take time to look at our life and how we're living it. Look at what is affecting us, and two, how we are affecting others. And I think it's a good time for you to do that. And so my desire here is actually to use this passage, the truths from this passage, to do that ourselves, that we ourselves can look at a very specific and I would say central part of our life and see, one, how we are doing, but then two, how can we change? What needs to be worked on? And so this passage is describing very detailed the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He is describing what his ministry looks like, right? And so because of that, we know from Scripture, we know from God's plan and how the church works, that the ministry that Paul did of building and growing churches across the world is actually the ministry that we are a part of today. One, as a local church, as a body of believers, but even, I believe, when he's using this word ministry in his ministry, if you're a believer in Christ, it even applies to you individually and the way that you live your life. Now, I think we're going to be able to do a couple things with this. I think we will be able to, one, actually look at how am I being ministered to. This ministry of God, this way that God has chosen to minister to the world, is that the kind of ministry I have put myself under? Am I being ministered in that way? And number two, am I ministering to others in that same way? The ministry that I am doing, is it God's ministry or is it my own? And that's, I think this passage is going to help us do that. And as I previously stated, this book has a lot going on in it as a whole, and that is because Paul's ministry was a very personal ministry. And I think as we see this morning, we'll see that that's actually supposed to be the same with all our ministry. It's supposed to be a very personal ministry. Because it's a very personal ministry, this book is covering, it's one of two letters we have in the Bible, but there's actually, we know from them that there's actually other letters that were sent between Paul and the Corinthians and the people there. And we also know, in fact, that Paul had visited Corinth a couple different times through these letters. They talk about this. And so to cover many different issues, it's been several years now, but we've gone through the book of 1 Corinthians in this church several years ago now, and if you remember from that book, there was a lot of issues that they were covering. And so eventually Paul knew, well, what I need to do is I need to go to them and talk to them. And some things with that went really well, some things with that didn't go really well at all. And so he went back, he sent another letter, and after that letter, he actually sent Timothy to go again. Timothy was a helper of Paul, a great teacher of the word, and builder of the church, and sent him to check in with the Corinthians to see if they are okay, to see where they're at with some of the issues that were going on, and then eventually we get to this letter. So in this letter, we see a lot of very personal things, and one thing we see in it is we see repentance. We see that the Corinthians have dealt with some of their sin issues and have repented, and Paul shows his thankfulness for that. We also see there's something going on where they're collecting funds for Jerusalem, for the church, and that's going on in here, so there's a lot of that in here. But there's this other issue that Paul did want to address with them, and that issue is that some of the people in Corinth were beginning to question Paul's ministry. They were beginning to question if what he was doing or the way he was doing it was how is what they should follow and how they should do it themselves. And the reason that some of the issues that they had, and Paul addresses them in this, he says them a couple of different times, is, well, one, when he actually came, they actually weren't that impressed with him. They didn't think he talked that well. They didn't see him as this very impressive person. Another issue they had with him is they actually thought he was kind of poor. They weren't very impressed that he didn't have a lot of money. And they thought that was strange. They also didn't understand why he didn't ask them for money, but he asked the church in Macedonia for money. They were confused on that and didn't know why. They thought maybe there was selfish reasons there, but they didn't quite understand it. They thought maybe he loved Macedonia more or whatever it may be. They weren't sure. And so they have all these issues of wondering, well, is Paul the guy? Is Paul the guy that we should be following? Well, in this part of the letter, Paul is trying to clearly lay out for us that, one, this ministry that he is a part of, that he is doing, is the correct ministry, but he's actually trying to also speak very clearly, and we'll see this here, that it's not his ministry. And so there's this very first line in verse 1 here, so it says this word therefore, right, which tells us everything he's built up to this point. And the really nice thing, and it's good to go back and read that and check all that out, but thankfully he actually sums up what all he said so far in one sentence, and that's this: having this ministry by the mercy of God. And so that's his introduction sentence into what he's going to talk about here, that having this ministry by the mercy of God, right, that word having, right, in light of this, I'm going to live this way. In light of this, I'm going to do this way. And so what's that in light of? What is the big truth? Is that the ministry I am doing, I've been given by the mercy of God. And that phrase may seem like a small phrase made of small words, but there's a lot there. And I'm going to go through these six verses, and I'm going to pull out 10 marks that I see in here of Christian ministry, of the church's ministry and what it's supposed to look like. And we're going to go through those, but I want you to notice and see that they all fall under that concept that it is a ministry that is given by the mercy of God. And so mercy of God, that phrase, right? Like something you don't deserve, right? When you receive mercy, you are getting something that you do not deserve. And something that maybe even you're not worthy of. In fact, it's something that, in fact, you are not worthy of. And I think when we're thinking about ministry, and again, I am talking very much about this church and this church as a body and us as a whole, and obviously, of course, the whole church of Christ across the world. But I think it even does apply to your own personal evangelism. You're showing Christ through your own life. I think it applies there as well. And that even itself was given to you by the mercy of God. You didn't earn it. You're not worthy of it. You did not create it. And it's God's. He's the one who gives it out. And so we're going to see two themes carry out through all these 10 marks. And that is, one, humility. And two, that the message is God's. And in fact, he's the center of it. Not you, not me. Which we'll find is actually extraordinarily freeing. So as we go through these, I'm going to have 10. I'm going to try to give some examples as I go through them. It's basically just going through the verses. I'm sure there's other ways it could be split up or seen, but this is the way I've chosen to do it to help helps me kind of understand it. But I want you to notice the way I'm going to word these, I'm going to start each of these with the word we. And the reason I've chosen to do that is, one, because Paul uses the word we and our and ourselves throughout this passage to talk about his ministry, but also the ministry of Timothy and the other apostles, the other believers, and the other church planters. And because our desire and our calling is to be carrying on that very same ministry, I think it is fair for me to say we, knowing, of course, that we're not doing it perfectly, that I'm not doing it perfectly, we as a church are not doing it perfectly, you as an individual are not doing it perfectly, but still knowing that that should be our accurate desire, is to do ministry in these ways. So let's dig in. Oh, I guess let me leave you with this too. As we're digging through, if this is helpful for you, here's four questions for you to think about maybe while we're going through these. Maybe this is helpful for you. One, are you sitting under godly ministry? This ministry from God, this godly ministry, are you sitting under it? Is that the ministry that you're mainly being ministered to in that way? Number two, are you taking part in godly ministry? Are you taking part? Are you actually acting and not just consuming, but taking part in it? And then I'm going to bring it a lot more personal with our church and us and the people in this room. And I want you to ask the question, what are we as a church doing well when we look at this list? And four, what do we as a church need to work on? And so I'm asking you to help me, to help us to come together and ask these questions. All right, so let's dig in. I've got 10 of them. The first is this. We see this immediately. It is, we do not lose heart when the ministry seems to be failing. We do not lose heart when the ministry seems to be failing. See, Paul says here, he starts out that very first verse, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Loving people and dying to yourself daily is very hard to do. And sometimes we don't see the fruit or reaction that we hope that we're going to see. And when that happens, we lose heart. Paul wants to remind us that because the ministry is not yours, like meaning that because the ministry has not come from you, but it's from the mercy of God, because God has given it to you, you don't have to lose heart. Right? And of course, that makes sense, right? Because if it's God's ministry, if he's the one doing it, it can't fail. Even if it looks like it's failing, if it looks like it's not how we think it should turn out, if God is the one doing it, we know by the character and the goodness and the power of God that we don't have to lose heart. We, in fact, get to kind of throw our own wishes and desires away and fears away when we're not seeing the results that we want to see. Because when we really think about it, that losing heart that often comes with it is actually because we feel like we're not good enough, or we feel like we failed, or we feel like other people are failing us, or whatever it may be, and we actually just make it about us. We then become the center of the ministry. But when we in fact see that the ministry is from God, we do not need to lose heart. And when you don't lose heart, that makes your ministry very strong, because it just keeps going. It doesn't quit. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going. That's number one. Number two, and again, remember this is him going back to having the ministry by the mercy of God. Number two is we do not use disgraceful, underhanded ways. Now that sounds really like it makes sense, right? If this is God's ministry, if it's given us by his mercy, why would you do it disgracefully? Why would you do it underhandedly? Why would you do it in an underhanded kind of way, in a disgraceful way? And that seems obvious, but I think it's something that we really need to consider, because I think maybe it sneaks up on us. So he gives us in here specifically what that looks like, what he means by disgraceful and underhanded ways in this next part of verse 2. He says, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. So what he means when he says disgraceful, underhanded ways, he means trying to manipulate God's word to get what you want. And that could look a lot of different ways. That could look like trying to get things from people. That could look like trying to get people to like you. That could look like saying certain things from the Bible but leaving certain things out, or twisting what it says because, man, you really don't want to upset somebody, or, man, you really don't want them to hear this thing even though it's a really hard truth and it is a truth, but, man, you don't think they're going to take it really well, and maybe it's not that important anyway because it is hurtful, right? I only want to say the good things, whatever it may be. But no, that ministry does not do that. It does not tamper with God's word. We do not manipulate in order to get money, to get fame, to get recognition. Which actually leads me to the third, which is very connected, so I really can't leave the two separately. And the third is that we focus on clearly teaching and preaching the truths of God in his word. We focus on clearly teaching and preaching the truths of God. We focus on clearly teaching and preaching the truths of God. And of course, this is a contrast to the last to the last one, right? It says here, right? It says, but by the open statement of the truth, by the open statement of the truth. I love that phrase. I think it's awesome. One, what we say is the truth, and we say it openly. We don't hide stuff. We don't manipulate things. We speak it openly because it's God's word. It's his. It's what he's using to move his ministry, and so we say it openly. And so again, we don't add ourselves into it. And I think as a person who teaches the Bible regularly, it's important for me to see that and to think about that, because when I'm presenting God's truth, I'm not presenting myself. I'm not trying to impress somebody. I'm not trying to win points. I just know what I am holding is the truth, the light of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to let you see it clearly. And that, I hope, one, is what we do here from this pulpit, but also in our Bible studies, but also in the way we talk to each other and the way we talk to the lost, that we are opening truth. And we are saying statements of truth, statements of God's word in the way we talk openly, not hiding things, not trying to be tricky or manipulative, to try to, oh man, people don't really like this, so I'm going to kind of twist it this way, or I'm going to kind of add this bait in here to make it more interesting. There's nothing more interesting than the open truth of God. There's nothing more helpful, more useful, more of what people need than the open stating of God's word. Number four is a continuation there. It's we minister humbly, openly, and personally. We minister humbly, openly, and personally. We would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. By the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Right, that word commending, maybe you don't know what that means. Commending is to present yourself as useful. Suggest, hey, this is my commendation to you. I commend myself to you. But commending in such a way, openly and before God. Look, I'm just here. I am. I've got nothing. I'm hiding nothing. I'm tricking nothing. I have no other desires or tricks or manipulations that I'm trying to do, but rather I present myself to you in your service. That's the ministry that we're talking about. That's the ministry of God. That's the ministry that we get by the mercy of God, is one where we are openly and humbly doing that. And I don't want to add something. I don't want to say this, and I think this is important, that commending, that opening yourself up and saying, here I am, is personal. It's personal. Means it's one that involves speaking and listening. It's one that involves going to people and being with people. And the reason I think this is really important is because today it is really, really easy for the main way for us to be ministered to is to be a screen. That the primary ministry that we are receiving, the primary teaching that we are receiving, are from a screen. Now, I say as a person who has used YouTube and other formats in order to listen to great sermons and hear great teaching and all those kind of things. But the truth is, that person is not and cannot personally commend themselves to me. And I cannot personally commend myself to them. Right? And so this, and I say that, and you may be, well, Paul's writing a letter. He's not personally there. Paul sent many letters. He sent people. He went himself many times. It was personal. It was personal for him. In this time, and again, you think about what that meant. Like, he traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles through shipwrecks, over the sea, to do this. That's how personal it was for him and for the people that he sent, and not just himself, but Timothy and Titus and these other people that he sent. And so we minister humbly, openly, and personally. Number five, and this is really verses 3 and 4 kind of together. So let me read 3 to you. It says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the believers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so what I want to say here, number five, is that we have opposition. This ministry has opposition. And we see from this passage that the main opposition is this world, or the God of this world, who we know as Satan, is blinding people from seeing the message that is being taught. Now, this is important because Paul believes that when he's speaking to the Corinthians here, that some of them are actually people who are being blinded to see his ministry rightly. Now, this word veiled, he's alluding back to, he was talking about Moses in the Old Testament, and Moses' face was glorified by the light of God, and so he would wear a veil so that people wouldn't become afraid or couldn't see it, right? And so he's saying, well, but now God does not veil the face. Now he has shown all glory in the face of Christ. And we're going to see that more as we continue on. But he shows that glory in the face of Christ. He says, if there's any veil, that veil is the people's own blindness. And this is when he's beginning to talk about that this ministry is about darkness and light. This ministry is about darkness and light. There is an opposition, and that opposition is darkness. And by darkness, he means the inability to see. The inability to see truth, the inability to see the glory of God. That is the opposition that we have. The opposition really isn't so much other people as much as it is blindness. The blindness, and it says here, the blindness of unbelief. The blindness of false teaching, the blindness of untruth, right? If we talk about the bearing of the openness of truth, then it's the opposite of truth. It's false truth, which is an oxymoron that we are fighting against. And the reason I think this is important, and we bring it to this real world, I think we will even find a tendency or a desire to not focus on the light, but instead we will find a ministry in the darkness that involves things that seem good or maybe important, or things that even Scripture talks about, but that actually aren't the central light of the gospel of Christ. We're thinking about the importance of meeting other people's needs, or the importance of needs in society, or things that are going on in this world where people are being harmed, and things that God cares about, and things that Scripture does talk about. But in fact, we actually focus on these so much that we've blinded ourselves from the actual light, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ himself, which actually is the best way to speak into those issues itself. But we choose to be blinded to them. All right, number six. And that is that we have a central focus. And that is the gospel of the glory of Christ. We have a central focus. The gospel of the glory of Christ. This ministry has a center. This ministry has a main message. I read it there at the end of verse 4. Because it says this, right? The blindness, and again we see an opposition here. The blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light. So what is the light? What is the central message? What is, if we know the darkness is blindness, what is the light? The light is the gospel of the glory of Christ. It is the gospel of the glory of Christ. We are not proclaiming ourselves. We're not proclaiming good deeds. We are proclaiming the truth that Christ is God, that he came, that he died for the sins of man, that all may believe and live in God's glory forever. That is the message. That is the truth. And I want to add in there and show in here that he says this little phrase at the end. He says, who is the image of God? Again, it's hard to think about that word image apart from light. Image by definition involves light, right? That's what an image is. An image is the projecting of light in order to see it. Christ is that light. He is that light projector of God. He is the image of God. He is God revealing himself to man. And so if we are standing in the way of that, we're missing the center of the whole message. If we're standing, if people cannot see Jesus because we're in the way, we've lost complete focus on the purpose of the ministry completely. Which of course brings us to number 7, which is that we do not proclaim ourselves. We do not proclaim ourselves. Verse 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord as Lord. Right? So he's giving a contrast here. He's like, look, I don't proclaim me. I don't teach me. I proclaim Jesus. I proclaim him. Now, the reason that's so important is because I really like me. And even if I sometimes think I don't like me, I want to change in that. And I want me to be the center of the universe. I have this joke when it was David Johnson's wedding. He was the groom, right? And it was you know, I was his best man. No big deal. I'm just awesome. But see, there it goes again. And I told him, I said, hey, I want you to know that today is your day. You know, today is your day. It's about you, but I want you to know that I get all the rest of them, because every other day is about me. Of course, I was joking, but there's actually that truth in our heart, right? Because our mind has only ever been in our brain. Our life is very much about ourselves, and so we have these amazing ways and horrible ways that we are able to make ministry about ourselves, right? Even our personal evangelism, right? Like, as scary as it is, we can even make that about ourselves, right? If I can check this off, I'll feel better about myself. Or if I can, man, get this person won over in this way, I mean, again, whatever it may be, the ways that we put ourselves, and I think he's definitely, Paul's talking about the people that are here. I think they were trying to get something out of it. The ministry that they were doing was not of God, was not by the mercy of God, because what they were presenting was not Christ. What they were presenting were themselves. And so this is the warning to you and to me, as you're thinking about your ministry this last year and your ministry this next year, are you presenting Christ or are you presenting yourself? And I think that word humility that we've talked about already is really, really important, because that word humility allows us to present ourselves so that Christ can be seen. Because it really doesn't mean that you can completely erase yourself and yourself isn't talked about at all, but you talk to yourself and who you rightly are, and we're going to get into that here as we continue on. But number 7, this is very important. We do not proclaim ourselves. And number 8, very connected to that concept, is that we are servants to each other and those we minister to. We are servants to each other and those we minister to. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. With ourselves, right? Like, so know what he's saying. So remember, these people were not impressed with him. Right? They didn't, they're like, yeah, he writes big words, but when he comes and talks, he's not very impressive. He's like, I came to serve you. I came to serve you. I came as your servant. And he even says we, right? We are your servants. We're not here to get something from you. We're not here to boss you around. We're not here to be your masters. We're here to serve you. We're here to serve you and show you something and to bless you by seeing the glory of Christ. That's what we're doing, and that's what our ministry needs to be. And so if in your ministry, if you're trying to be a boss, if you're trying to be the head honcho, if you're trying to master over someone in some way or another, you're doing it wrong. We know from Scripture that ministry involves leadership. It even involves authority. We see that authority is very important in ministry, and that all is done through service. And that's how Paul wants them to see him. And I think it's also how we need to see ourselves as we do ministry. Are we serving? One, are we serving each other? Are we thinking, how can I serve these people? Are we looking, not just in general, but are you looking at each other with names and faces in mind and thinking, how can I serve this person? Right? How can I serve this person? Right, us together here. And then also going into your community, into your group, into your place, your work, where you live, your neighborhood, and doing the same. How can I serve this person in light of the ministry that God gave me by his mercy? In light of that ministry, how can I show them this light? All right, getting close. Number nine. I love this one. It is that we know that the light-giving God ministered to us first. We know that the light-giving God ministered to us first. Core to being humble, core to showing people the light of Christ, is knowing that while we were still blind, God showed us his light. And I love how Paul references here in verse 6, he references Genesis, he references the first few sentences of the Bible. He says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Right? That's God's business. That's what he does. Just like when all was dark in the beginning of time, he said, "Let there be light." If you are trusting in Christ, he did the same thing to you. He went into the darkness of your heart and he said, "Be light." It is hard to proclaim yourself and put yourself first when you realize that you were dark and God came to you and shone the light in your heart. And that any light that you shine out comes from that initiating that he did. That lighting up that he did. We need to not make the mistake of thinking that we are the sun, right? That we are the star in the sky that's bringing a great light and showing things, right? In scripture it says that we are the light of the world, right? And we are the light, not like the sun. We are the light like the moon, right? The moon does not create its own light. The moon reflects the light of the sun. When you see a big, full, beautiful moon at night, the light that you are seeing did not come from that moon initially. That light came from the sun, just like your light comes from the sun. S-O-N, sun. And so we need to not think for a second that the light is ours, but that that light is God's. And finally, and this may be really similar to nine, but I want us to think about it and think a little deeper. Number 10 is that we see and show the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see and show the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at all the words he has here at the very end. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God, right? The knowledge of glory of God, knowing God, the ability to know the glory of God, the ability to see God's greatness, to see his holiness, to see who he is, to see his love, to see his justice, to see his patience, to see his greatness, he has shown us Jesus' face. And so my question to you, I think we need to do this because you cannot be ministered to well, and you obviously, of course, cannot minister well if first you have not seen Jesus' face. And you may ask, "Well, of course I have seen Jesus' face. He lived 2,000 years ago. How could it be possible I've seen Jesus' face?" And it's right here, right? It says the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Everything we've talked up to this point, the open sharing of the truth, the humbly and personally presenting ourselves to others. God shows you the face of Christ by bringing believers into your life and them shining that light in you, that you open your eyes and you see Jesus. The light that you see is Christ. And so the question that I have to ask is, have your blind eyes been open? Have you seen Jesus? Do you see that in the darkness of your heart, you need a Savior? And the other question then, of course, is, if your blind eyes have been open, are you helping other people see? Are you helping other people see? Are you letting that light shine through you like the moon shows the light of the sun? Are you showing that love? So let me end with going back to these four questions that I started with. This is how we'll end. And as we've gone through these 10, let me really quickly read them. Maybe that would be helpful. I'll read them again. It says, one, we do not lose heart when the ministry seems to be failing. We do not use disgraceful, underhanded ways. That's two. Number three, we focus on clearly teaching and preaching the truths of God. Four, we minister humbly, openly, and personally. Five, we have opposition. There's opposition, blinded minds from Satan. Six, we have a central focus as the gospel of the glory of Christ. Seven, we do not proclaim ourselves. Eight, we are servants to each other and those we minister to. Nine, we know that the light-giving God ministered to us first. And 10, we see and show the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so my questions from the beginning of this is, one, are you sitting under godly ministry? Are you sitting under godly ministry? What ministry have you submitted yourself to? Is it personal? Is it Christ-centered? Is the word being opened? Number two, are you taking part in godly ministry? Are you being part of godly ministry? Are you serving? In what ways are you serving? Right? Are you getting connected? We are the whole body of Christ, and God calls us to one act together as a body. And as that, as different members with different abilities, different skills, and different time availabilities, and different positions, and all those different kinds of things. And so as you're examining and thinking about this past year, and thinking about this next year, I ask you to be thinking about, what's your role? What's your position? What things can you be doing? How can you be serving? And this is where it gets really personal and connecting for all of us. Number three was, what are we as a church doing well? And I ask that because what I want you to do is, if you see parts of this ministry be done well, the scripture calls us to encourage one another. It calls us to build one another up. And so I encourage you to find those people that have been showing you love, that have been teaching the word to you, that have been having personal life relationship with you, that you encourage them and you thank them for that. And you show them that love and kindness. Now that's going to help grow us together. And number four, what do we need to work on? When you see this list and you see where are we lacking at? Where are we maybe short at? And so one, I want you to think about that and pray about that. But two, if God's brought that in your heart, I want you to act in it, realizing that you are actually a person who is capable to help grow that position, that mark, that issue, right? I think we can have this tendency of seeing an issue and then backing off from the church because that issue is not right. My challenge to you, and I think that's actually Paul's challenge to the Corinthians, is step forward, step into it. Right? Step into the church. Step into this ministry of God that we've been given to by the mercy of God. Because we've been given to it by his mercy, because we are not central to it, it's not about us. It's not about us. You can give yourself to God's ministry openly and personally because it's his, not yours. And that's a freeing thing. Any fear that you're worried about having from personal evangelism or from talking to your neighbor about these things, you can actually relinquish because you're not presenting yourself. Just like my hope and my prayer is that this morning, I'm not presenting myself, but I'm presenting God through me, letting him shine through me. And that is who we as a church, as Ridgeview Bible Church, are called to be in this community, and that you are called to do as well personally. next week we'll get into the next passage, which will be even more personal within ourselves and what that daily life looks like. But I pray this week that you consider these truths, that you consider these mugs, that you read this passage again. Let me pray. Father, in our darkness and in our blindness, you came to save the lost with your light. But your goal is not to stop there, Lord. You make us ministers of this gospel along with you, giving us your word that we may openly share it personally and humbly. Father, may we do that. Lord, help us to erase ourselves from the equation. Help us to not be central to the ministry, to not put ourselves above all, but may the face of Jesus be the center point of our personal ministry daily, but Lord, also our ministry as this church. May it be rooted in the fact that you came to us in the darkness and gave us light, and may we show that light to others with Christ at the center. We praise things in your name. Amen.